Open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 23. Acts chapter 4, reading at verse 23. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In our study, we have learned that Peter and John have appeared before the council, that is the Sanhedrin, and they have been questioned by them. And in this preliminary hearing, they have hoped that they'll be able to determine the power or by what name this man, 40-year-old man, lame from birth, by what power he has been healed. The Bible tells us that Peter and John told them that it was by the power of God, the authority of Jesus Christ. And the council did not accept the truth of that story. And yet they realized that they could not deny it. And they said so in verse 16, and we cannot deny it. That is, that a notable, that is, undeniable miracle has been done. But verse 17 tells us that they wanted to stop the spread of it. That is, the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not want these people, Peter and John, or anyone else, to ever preach and teach again in the name of Jesus. They, in their unsureness and uncertainty, and in the face of the undeniable fact of this man's wholeness or his health, they really had no course of action that was legitimate. And so they chose to use intimidation and fear. The Bible tells us in verse 18 that they commanded them. And in verse 21, the Bible tells us that they threatened them. And then in verse 23, we read that they let them go. This simply means that they unloosed them. They released them. And when Peter and John were released, the Bible tells us that they went to their own company. And I'd like for us to think of that thought this morning. Seeking our own company. Going to our own company. Perhaps this is one of the most critical moments in the history of the New Testament church. They have had miracles. They've had the day of Pentecost. And they've had here the healing, the lame man. They've had 3,000 respond to the gospel message and the truth of God. They've had 5,000 people now in the city of Jerusalem who are believers. But now, the beginning of persecution is noted. They have not yet been whipped. They have not yet, any of them, suffered death, but they've been commanded by the civil and religious power and authority of their age, and they have been threatened. And these people knew what that meant. It literally means promise. The word that's translated threatened means they promised these men, and I have a good idea what they promised them, since they had the power of life and death in their midst. It's the same group that had brought Jesus to the cross and crucified him. Peter and John well understood what it meant to be commanded by the Sanhedrin. They knew what it meant to be promised things from their mouths and being let go. They were turned loose. What are they going to do? They have a lot of options, don't they? A wide open country lies before them. They can flee into another land. They can go back to their own homes. They can simply walk away from it all. They can decide that it's not worth it. They can decide it's more trouble than it's worth. They can decide that the benefits are few and the risks are many. And yet the Bible tells us that being let go, they went to their own company. These two words, own company, really the word company is not there, but the emphasis is on the word O-W-N, one's own. And it emphasizes not only one's own company, but one's own kind of people. It's the same word we'd get idiom from. It's one's own very kind. And being let go, they went to their own kind. They went back to their own group. These men had found themselves subject to a law that like seeks like. They had realized owl to owl and crow to crow. They had become participants in birds of a feather flock together. And as we consider the fact that they sought their own, we realize that every material substance has certain characteristics and qualities. That qualities make affinities, and according to affinities, companionship is generally chosen. I have a mixture here. Just went out in the backyard and dug up a lot of dirt from different places and added some water. And I'm really mixing it quite thoroughly. I'm going to set it here. And those of you who passed third grade science, you know what's going to happen, don't you? There are going to be some forces at work inside this jar. And one of them is gravity. These are not the same kinds of material. These soils are composed of different kinds of elements. And that'll set there, and as it sets there, every kind will seek its own. And the kind of material and its response to gravitation will divide and separate this because each will seek its own kind. And according to the levels, according to the kinds of material, the numbers of kinds of material, this will divide itself into levels. There may be three levels or four levels or maybe even more, but it will, each kind, seek its own. And whatever is true in the material realm is true in the social and the spiritual realm. For example, take the great mixture of human life and see the working of those same forces. For instance, a factory or a great office building lets out its workforce. It's the end of the day. And follow each of these people until they go to their bed at night, and you'll see this law working. That is, each one seeking its own company. As one man leaves the factory, as one lady leaves the office building, they know where they're going. There's a favorite bar, a favorite club, a favorite place. And men and women of like character and desires are leaving other factories and other office buildings, and as sure as birds of a feather flock together, as sure as owl to owl and crow to crow, as sure as like seeks like, as sure as the laws of gravity, as sure as the laws of physics, these people will find one another, seek out one another's company, and form groups. But even more interesting, and perhaps better still, let us watch on Sunday morning and at other times when the church is meeting, and we will see this law of human nature work itself in the hearts and lives of people. Now, I realize that there are disruptions to that law that like seeks like, and that everyone who wants to be in this company aren't here in this company this morning, because there are disruptions that are caused by frailty and oftentimes by sin. And yet what we say is generally true, and let me tell you that if this law of affinity and if this circumstance of gravity worked perfectly, the earth would be round and it would be made up of concentric levels of material according to their atomic weight and makeup, starting here and just working your way down. But we know that there are mountains, and we know there are hills and valleys, and there are plains. And the reason is that this crust of the earth, made up of different kinds of material, have been upheaved by earthquakes. And the forces of the moon pulling have created the tides, and volcanoes have erupted. And through this chaotic force of nature, there are mountain peaks, and there are valleys, and there are places where the concentric circles have been totally disrupted. But it took a force to do it. really working. Some's being gathered at the bottom, some's gathering at the top. We seek our own kind. Think of me and you as these elements in this jar, and each of us has a knowledge of truth. Maybe not the same knowledge of truth in the sense of maturity and immaturity, but we have access to the truth and we're learning the truth. And think of the love of the truth as being gravity. The love of the truth then will gather people into layers of affinity. And some who love the truth more than they love anything else in the world will be with people who love the truth more than they love anything else in the world. And the party animals are going to be right there with the party animals. And the superficial, sentimental, emotional people who need crutches are going to look for their people where all the crutches are stacked. You've ever wondered, you know, why does a church become what it becomes? It's because like people gather there. Party people gather where party people are. They rarely ever mix and mingle without settling out. Just like this will settle itself out into layers of sediment. The society called the religious world will settle itself out to the social churches, the singing churches, the gregarious congregations, the down sitters and the uprisings, the cathedrals and the little storefronts. Everything will attract things after its own kind. Peter and John went to their own company. And I suppose the best news that Peter and John could ever have as they went to their own company was the approval that this group to whom they went approved of what they had done and approved of what they had said, and approved of who they were. The Bible tells us that when they got to their own company, they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And after they had reported all these things, we might assume that this group of people then to whom they reported would become filled with fear and intimidated by the threats that had been made against Peter and John. And perhaps they would have said, look, why don't you guys take a vacation for a little while? Isn't it nice in Galilee at this time of year? Or have you, Peter and John, have either of you ever been to Rome? I hear there's so much to see in the city of Rome. Or perhaps you would like to travel to Corinth. Perhaps you might want to go back into the desert areas whence John the Baptist came to exercise yourself in spiritual meditation. Peter and John told these people everything that was said and everything that they had heard. They made a full report to these people. They brought the message. Now, how's this church going to react? How are these people going to react? Possessing this kind of knowledge, how are they going to respond? And it's a critical time for the church of the living God and for the work of God. What's going to happen now that there has been this definable, predictable clashing of authority, the authority of men
and the authority of God. God has said, go and preach, and the authority of man has said, don't you dare.
And Peter and John put it into pretty simple perspective when they said, whether it's better to obey God or men, judge ye, which indicated exactly what they intended to do, but there was that inevitable clash of forces. And there's going to be bloodshed, and there's going to be death. There's going to be confiscation of property. There's going to be stonings and suffering and displacement and dispersion. And there's going to be a grinding of human flesh and human relationships, and this thing that Jesus said would happen is going to happen because mother and daughter are going to get separated in their viewpoints of this new religion called Christianity, and there's going to be this kind of development because of father and son and loved ones and unloved ones, and now this grinding, crashing, thrashing circumstance that Jesus predicted and prophesied. Now it begins, and it begins to grind up masses of human emotion and flesh and life and joy and peace and kindness and godliness and goodbyes and tears. Now it's begun. This grist mill, this clashing of wills, this letting of blood, it has begun. What will the people say to whom Peter and John have come? They approved. The Bible says in verses 24 and other verses that they heard. When that they heard this, that is, and when they heard that is the report, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, they lifted up their voice, which means to take up. It literally means that there was a cry that began to be heard among this company of believers. They took up a cry. And the word that's translated accord means one mind. Homos, thumos, one mind. They all began to say the same thing. They lifted up their voices. And what did they say? Oh God, what'll we do now? Times are tough. We'll lose our businesses. We'll be dispersed from our family circumstances. I've lived in Jerusalem all my life. Oh God, what's going to happen to us now? Worry, 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 worry. Isn't it terrible what God's done to us? Why would God put us in this awful circumstance? We've loved Him and served Him and we preach the truth. And now, God, You've put us here. We'll all be killed. Oh, worry, worry, worry. Fret, fret, fret. It's sort of unusual that what they say has to do with creation. They lifted up their voice to God with one mind and one kind of sound and said, Lord, Thou art God. It's a good way to start and put an end to your anxieties and your troubles and your problems. Thou art God. And they praise Him because He's the Creator. Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is,
And as they praise God's power as the Creator, they are saying to themselves, if God created all things, then God is in control. If He is in control, then we'll be okay.
God did what? He made heaven and earth and sea and everything that's in them. And we're in Christ, and Christ is in God. And if God controls all these things, then God controls our destiny, and God's pleased with who we are, and God's pleased with what we are. And praise be God. And they cited Scripture. I like that. This company where Peter and John went, the first thing they did when they heard about the threatenings of the council, the first thing they did was to lift their voice and say, God, you made everything, and you made us, and you're in control, and it's okay. And then they began to quote Scripture, Psalm 1:1 and Psalm 1 and 2, verses 25 and 26. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. And they're saying, in God, this really happened. We read it in the Bible, and it really came to pass because. And here's their interpretation of it. They applied it. The Gentiles raged against Him. Notice, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Now notice, both Herod and Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. He names Jew and he names Gentile. And he says that all of these people, the Gentiles raged and the rulers stood up and the people of Israel rejected him. And these things were no surprise to God, because these people in their rage and in their rejection and in their reaction against Jesus Christ and those terrible threats that he made against the human family. Wasn't he a threat to the human race? Wasn't Jesus such a threat to mankind as he walked in the midst of these people? No man ever loved like Jesus Christ loved. No man ever healed physically like he healed. No man ever had compassion like he had compassion. Jesus didn't try to gather an army and start an insurrection. He didn't try to create a cult that would have brought famine and distress and ruin and wreckage to the Jewish nation. Here a man, the most humble, the kindest, most gentle man that ever lived, and yet they raged against him. They plotted against him. They rejected him, and the Bible tells us they killed him. But let me show you something. They gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Thy hand, that is, God's hand was seen in it. That is, God's permissive hand was seen in it, and God's counsel was seen in it. That is, God's wisdom was seen in it, and it was God's hand and God's wisdom that had determined before this had ever been done that it would be done. And the word determined means to determine beforehand. And there are some people who get incensed and angry at the idea and thought of God's foreknowledge. But I rejoice much more in God's knowledge than I do in God's ignorance, because there is no ignorance in God. But I want to tell you something this morning, and you remember this. Jesus wasn't crucified because men hated him. Now, I know that the Bible says that they raged against him and they arrayed themselves against the Christ. They gathered themselves together against the Lord. And there was the full force of the Jewish religious movement and the full force of the Roman military and civil authority that was arrayed against the Lord and against his Christ. But let me tell you something. All the hatred that exists in the world could never have crucified Jesus Christ. Hatred, man's hatred of God, man's hatred of Jesus did not crucify Jesus. God's love crucified Jesus. God's love crucified Jesus. The hatred of man was simply the instrument that God allowed to be used to bring about the manifestation of his love and put into practice and to bring to pass the glorious gospel of the Son of God. Now, the Bible tells us that as they gathered this company, one's own company, we've got 3-4 distinct layers already. They're gathering to their company. Now, what this company do next, the Bible tells us they prayed. Now, if you didn't want to be a man or woman of prayer, you would have been uncomfortable in this company. If you were not a man or woman who loved the Bible, you would have not been in this company. If you didn't love Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be in this company. All right? Because this is one's their own company. It's people who have the same mind, the same thoughts and purposes and intents, the same kind of values. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. God, you know the kind of promises that these people have made to us. You know the menace that they hold out to us. Now, Lord, grant, that is, give. Give us the sophisticated ability to maneuver and manipulate this bad circumstance so that nobody will get hurt. Isn't that right? Lord, listen, we're on our knees before you this morning, dear God, and we're praying that you will give us a mind so that we can use it and think, God, and figure out a way to live without sacrifice, to have without giving, to be without doing, and to be happy without, you know, God, is that what they prayed for? God, help us to get along with the Pharisees. God, help us to know how to approach the Sanhedrin. Dear God, let us work this thing out. We don't want a clash of wills. Oh God, you know what these people prayed for? They prayed for the very thing that got Peter and John in trouble. And you know what they prayed for? Boldness. And that's the very thing that got Peter and John in trouble, was their boldness. And yet that's what they prayed for. They prayed for the thing that got these two preachers in trouble who had come and reported all that had been done to them. And as they began to pray, they said, God, give us the same thing that got the preachers in trouble. Give it to us. Give us parousia. Give us boldness, which is fearless candor. Freedom and liberty from fear to speak frankly what we believe and what we think. And God will need some help in order to speak so freely and frankly and have such boldness. And so stretch out your hand. Extend your hand, dear God, to heal. And extend your hand, dear God, with signs. And extend your hand, dear God, with wonders, that they may be done by the name of thy holy man servant, Jesus. Lord, if you'll heal people like this lame man was healed, and Peter and John spoke out with boldness. God, if you'll keep doing that, we'll keep doing what Peter and John did, and we'll speak out with boldness. God must have been pleased with what they said. God must have been pleased with what they prayed for. Because the Bible tells us that when they'd prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. When they prayed. And this word, and there's several words translated prayer in the Bible. But this word means to need, to want, to make known one's need. It has in it the idea of urgent request. When they had urgently made their request known to God, the place, the topos, the spot, a particular place was shaken, which means to move to and fro, where they were assembled. That is, where they had come together. You say, do you think that was literal? Yes. I think it was literal. Because God was going to do this again. And he shook them up again. That's what God is saying. Now what's going to happen? Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, these elements are going to seek exactly their own level again. They're going to gather to their own company again. But God, how many times will you do that? Oh, every Sunday night. How many times will it seek its own company? Every time you shake it up. Because like seeks like. Owl to owl, crow to crow, birds of a feather flock together. And the Bible tells us they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake in tongues. No, they didn't speak in tongues. Notice. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. You know, these people realized that in order for them to get anywhere, they were going to have to follow the pattern that Peter and John had set, and that is of when God did something miraculous, when a sign occurred, when a wonder appeared, they will have to take that and boldly proclaim that it was done in the name, by the authority, and in the power of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you people rejected, disowned, and then with wicked hands you took him and crucified him and nailed him to a cross. And we're living witnesses that he was buried and rose again. And we have seen him and we have talked with him and our hands have handled him of the word of life. These people said, God, we want the boldness to proclaim this message more than we want anything else in the world. And God shook that building where they were. He shook the congregation. And I really think that was a sign of God's approval of the decisions that these people had come to. We'll sing an invitation hymn, and we'll stand together. Then we'll come back tonight at 6:15 and 7 o'clock. Come ahead.